Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
And how are we doing today, Big JD?
Well, I just noticed the most amazing cup I ever seen in my life.
It's an amazing cup.
It's exquisite. It's like a flat, matte, black apple mug.
And you can only get that in one place.
I saw that in one of your pictures there where you can only buy apple stuff. That's cool.
If I had more room in my carry-on luggage, I would have bought all my friends one.
Wow.
Next time I go, I'm going to bring a suitcase.
I'll send you with one.
Yeah. Because you know what happened? You try to travel light and you don't want to have to pick up your baggage at the end of a trip. So you travel light and just bring a carry-on. Well, people who get on the plane before you don't, they bring their suitcase and then they bring it on the plane.
Yeah.
And then you get to the door and say, sorry, you're going to have to check that. There's no room left on the plane. So you got to check your bag anyway. Yeah. So I could have brought a suitcase, bought all kinds of stuff that I saw, but I said, no, I got a carry-on. I can't buy that. No, can't buy that. I was steam coming out of my ear. Just as you're
wow.
Getting, yeah, it's a bummer. But anyway.
How was the trip? San Francisco.
Yeah, it was tons of fun. Very, what's the word when it's hectic? It's just not whirlwind, but it was... I missed there was stuff that I wanted to do, never got to do it just because
time or
yeah, just so many things going on at once.
It happened fast too. I think it came up quick on you. You all of a sudden were going and within a few days you were gone.
Yeah. Not that had anything to do with it. It's just, I don't know if the more people you get to meet there, the more things you find out about that's going on. They say, oh, well, that's cool. And you say, oh, that's cool. Okay. There's, you know, three things that overlap right now. Like I could go see this for about a half an hour and then bail and go miss the first 20 minutes of this. And it was crazy. So I had a lot of fun though.
Did you end up getting some audio?
I got
the other days.
I got some audio from the show floor. Yeah.
And some IDs and all kinds of goodies. Or
I got an ID from Tom Mayer. Are you familiar with Tom Mayer?
Okay. No, I'm not 100% sure.
Buzz Out Loud podcast from CNET. Him and Molly Wood do a podcast. And Callie Lewis.
I'm not sure. Sound familiar. Maybe I've heard you mention them or something. I don't know.
So yes, I got IDs from those two people. And tons of new gadget stuff that I wanted to, ask people about. You know, I went to Griffin's booth and went to Kensington's booth and Logitech.
A lot of new stuff?
Oh, yeah. They all had new stuff.
Wow.
And the coolest thing that I wanted to get an interview for, I should be telling you this on the Easy Mac podcast.
Yeah, well, we'll save that for the Easy Mac podcast.
I will.
Folks can check that out. And actually, soon there'll be a new show. We have one that was done remotely while you were in San Francisco.
Yes.
And we have another show. It's another show that we produce. It's the Easy Mac Podcast. EasyMacPodcast.com.
Yeah, we produce it, but we're not on it. It's
right.
Jeff and Mike that
right,
do that one. Yeah. Yeah. So, tons of fun. I'm not too fond of red eyes, that's for sure. And, of course, I had to sit in the middle, and it's just uncomfortable, let alone there's two people now sleeping next to you. I could never sleep on a plane. Doesn't matter if I'm in. Oh, I suppose if I was in first class, I might be able to sleep.
Three people across, eh?
Three people across, exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, if we were to all stand in the area that those three seats are in, all of our arms would touch.
Oh, yeah.
Like we'd be like.
That's tight.
You'd want to turn sideways just so you're.
I just put my head on one of them's shoulder and crash.
Oh, that would be awesome. I should ask that girl next to me. Do you mind if I put my shoulder on your
head? I don't know you, but. In that case, you'll put it in her lap. Go to sleep.
I could say something really nasty there, but I'm not gonna.
18 plus.
18 plus.
And then the Jabbercast is 18 and under.
18 and under. Yeah, that's your IQ, you mean?
Well, I thought we like them young.
Like what young?
Listeners.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah. How about you? What's going on with you?
Nothing.
I heard it's your birthday.
Nothing's going on with me. That's what everybody says. Happy birthday. I get emails, happy birthday, but it's not my birthday.
I honestly didn't think it was your birthday when Kim told me.
What month is this? January.
January.
Wow. I really had a wacky date up there, I guess.
You're talking about your Facebook.
I guess on Facebook. Yeah. That's what everybody was.
But you just, a lot of people don't even put their real birthday.
Yeah, apparently I didn't.
And you're one of those guys.
Yeah.
But the thing with Facebook, it's all friends, more or less. People you don't care who knows your birthday. I mean, it's not only your friends that are looking at your profile on Facebook.
Not necessarily, no.
No, it's every single company out there has got all the information. Oh, look at this guy. He's interested.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
It just all comes into you. What was I going to say about that? Oh, I ended up putting all my pictures on Facebook.
I saw that, yeah.
But first I did it on .Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Like my homepage, .mac.com. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the first time I tried to do it, I put all the pictures in, put them in the right order. And you do it all in the web browser. Right? It's all that mm-hmm. Ajax, the web 2.0 stuff. Put all the caption in for 40 pictures. Go to preview it, and it goes to a different page. Like it goes to a page like, welcome to .Mac. I'm like, where's my preview? Hit the back button. All that work I just did, like to move them around, put captions for 40 friggin' pictures. You know how long that took?
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
Gone.
You had quite a blog there, and you had all the captions once you did it anyway.
And you're limited to the amount of caption characters you can put in on there, too. So I said, mm-hmm. just screw it. I'm just going to put it on Facebook and lead people over there. And you can put as big as you want on Facebook. The thing expands as you type for each picture. Like, you know, you can put... I bet you there is a limit, but...
And the .Mac was through iWeb, though?
No. Just right on, anyway? Right on the internet.
Oh, right on the internet.
Right in Safari or whatever browser I was using at the time. Yeah.
Okay, so you can connect to your .Mac that way and do that? That's what it allows you to do.
Oh, we got the dehumidifier. I got to turn it off. Hang on.
Let's the dehumidifier.
Yes, it's going to get all humid in here now.
Yeah, I'm starting to sweat already.
Yeah, it's so balmy in here.
It's actually quite cool outside.
Quite cool. Yeah. Cool, I don't think is the word. It's fucking cold, man. It was 65 degrees last day I was there. Sunny. Yeah. I was hobnobbing down. It was a great day.
It was like 80 here then. You missed the most beautiful weather.
80. I don't believe it because my car still had snow and ice on it when I picked it up.
You picked your car up? You're strong.
Well, it was only about 3 inches off the ground.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was only the one side.
Was lady trapped under it or something? Because that's when you can usually do that. I find I can do it.
Well, she wasn't old at all. It was a midget. No? Some middle-aged lady.
Anytime there's an old lady under my car, I have no problem picking it up.
Da, 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 da. Superhero. Yeah.
Faster than a speeding internet connection.
Faster than speeding. He can almost make it to the Jabbercast at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, just about. It's the weather sets me back, the drivers.
And Kim
had nothing to do with me.
And Kim thought it was your birthday. Oh, he must be busy. It's his birthday this morning. Yeah, so he's
big
late.
Cake, party, whole thing this morning. 6. Birthday breakfast.
Don't believe you. And then...
Big JD's.
When you called, I was on the phone with Francis, our drummer, and they want to have practice at noon today.
Wow.
So I said, I'm going to be done at noon, so I don't know if we're going to make it at noon. And he says, tell Jeff to come on over too.
I can't play nothing.
That means you can play something.
Well, no.
I can't play nothing. That means I can play something.
I can't play any songs, let alone an instrument.
Well, we'll just do a freeform jazz little thing.
All I could do is watch. But I got a full plate.
Got a full plate?
Today and
aren't
tomorrow.
You on some kind of boust?
That's over with.
Over with?
Yeah.
And...
Bryce.
Bryce.
Yeah. Bryce.
No tea?
No tea. Except this green tea is what I'm figuring it is.
Yeah, it's a gunpowder green tea from Twinings.
Gunpowder green?
Yeah, that's what it's... That's
good thing it's cold outside. I wouldn't want to... what do you... Self-combust. What do you call that? When somebody self-combusts?
Yeah.
It's called something, though.
Self-combustion.
No, something else, isn't it?
No. That's what the drummer from Spinal Tap did.
I thought there was another name for it, something.
Oh, there might be.
Something combustion.
I'll think of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap. What a sweet movie. That's really cool, right?
Yeah. They're not an actual real band. And we're going to give you some trivia.
Although they did put out 2 CDs of music.
I shouldn't say they're not a real band because there's real bands that only put out 1 album and made tons of money off 1 song on that album, where Spinal Tap didn't make a lot of money. But they did make 2 CDs.
And it's funny, they put the years where the songs came out, like it's a retrospect through their whole, you know.
Like they're a real band. And did you know, how about this for a piece of music trivia?
Music trivia?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Today's
show?
Derek St. Ubbins, the bass player from Spinal Tap, he plays the...
He's the guy with the big mustache,
Yeah. And it goes down here, too.
So he plays a lot of what? Was he a session player or something?
No, he plays a lot of voices on The Simpsons.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's Flanders. He's the cop. Kidding.
That's some trivia there.
Yeah, it's Harry Shearer.
That's pretty incredible. And speaking of Spinal Tap and the basically the band leader, do you know his name?
Nigel Saint Tufnell. Nigel Tufnell.
Nigel? No.
He's the leader.
Blonde guy is the singer leader. I consider him more the...
Oh, those two had... They thought it was...
Yeah,
the, it was the Joe Perry...
So what's the blonde guy's real name? Do you know?
His real name?
Because he was Lenny on Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
That's who he was, which is very funny.
Yeah.
And in a lot of movies afterward, he plays a suit.
Yes, he does.
He was in Airheads, which is another kind of a... rockish kind of thing, sort of, because he was a radio station manager or something. Gets held hostage. I think Adam Sandler's in it.
Yep.
And I can't remember who else. But
funny movie.
Yeah. So, he was Lenny, if you remember Lenny and Squiggy.
Hello.
That's right. I forgot all about that. And they just walk in Laverne and Shirley's apartment.
You know what my grandmother says?
I've never met your grandmother, so I don't know what she says.
It's funny because she can't stand watching. This just made me think of it. She can't stand watching Seinfeld because Kramer always walks into Seinfeld's apartment without knocking or anything and goes into the cupboards and helps himself. And she says, I can't stand that somebody does that. You know, it's just a show, you know, and that's supposed to be the funny thing. But she doesn't even like watching it because of that. It really perturbs her.
Then she didn't watch Friends either.
No, I don't think she was into Friends, but that was a lot of that going on.
Sure, it was just a walk.
But they were friends.
Exactly. Just I'm sure Lenny and Squiggy were good friends at Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Until, of course, Lenny got famous in the big rock band. Stonehenge.
Why, it's Stonehenge. So, yeah, it's a good movie. I urge everyone to check that out.
What, Spinal Tap?
They haven't seen it, yeah.
Oh, that's like not having the Beatles' White Album. You gotta have it.
It's like not pooping.
It's more like not pooping. You gotta do it.
Mm-hmm. And it feels great.
Unless you have a colostomy.
Yeah. Hey.
Then you're not pooping. And you're not using toilet paper.
Self-pooping. Okay. On that note, maybe we'll take a quick break.
Okay.
You need more Big JD? Visit the website, www.bigjd.com.
If you've been to the WKBR website at wkbr.ca, you will have noticed the explicit content warning. Some shows on WKBR may contain explicit content. Therefore, it is advised that you be 18 years of age or older to listen, or have adult consent. Please note, however, Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show and the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo do not contain explicit content and therefore are exempt from the explicit content warning. All ages are welcome for any shows hosted by Big JD or Big JD and Lippo.
You know, I just noticed something, and that is the fact that beanbag chairs these days...
Go ahead.
...don't seem to have nearly as much beans in them. I remember when I was, in grade school, high school, there were beanbag chairs. Friends had them. I don't believe that I actually ever had a beanbag chair, but I used to go there, and I always thought they were really cool. And they're filled with not actual beans, but it's like some kind of pellets of styrofoam or something. Mm-hmm. And they were fully packed. They were comfortable. You sit in them. You almost had arms in them that they were, you know. And now I see a lot of them. And maybe after a certain amount of use, there's less in it. But I find that when you go to buy one, even in a store, and they're at most half full of stuff inside them.
I know.
They're like, there's nothing in them anymore.
What do you think's up with that?
I don't know.
It's not like the stuff is expensive.
No.
And I think now they use styrofoam. Whereas I think before they actually used some kind of dried.
No matter what they use, they don't put enough of whatever it is anymore.
I agree.
Anyways.
So I think what?
Just an observation here.
You want to start a beanbag company and we'll call them the really full beanbag chairs.
The beanbag cast.
Okay.
I'm sort of on this kick of doing a video podcast of some kind.
That's because...
It'd be nice if we did one we do because I don't have time to do another.
Say that one more time.
It'd be nice to do a video podcast of one of the shows that we do because I don't have time to do another podcast of something all new. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just throwing that out there at you.
So okay, what if we did the Jabbercast video style?
Well, I was thinking more of the Easy Mac podcast myself because it's tutorial-ish.
Right. Then we'd have to do screencasts.
We'd have to do what?
Screencasts. Like
yeah, screencast.
You'd have to actually show what you're doing on the screen.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a camera showing two guys sitting at their laptop.
Yeah, but I don't know how that would work exactly, but we'd have to do something. Either we do it at the LCD TVs or we have it up on the thing like teaching at the college, you know?
Yeah, for
kind
sure.
Of thing. And,
yep.
And that way we could be in it as well as having the screen.
Yes.
And not have to do a double camera editing thing or anything like that to go back and forth or, you know, put a video in and then come back to us. You know what I mean?
Well, you'd want to have editing. So we'd only jump in with us. Just to break, you got to break that up. You can't stare at a screen all the time during a podcast. And you can't stare at us all the time, of course.
Yeah, but you could stare at both. You could stare at both. You see, we have the screen behind us.
Yeah.
We're facing the camera, basically, right. On computers, mm-hmm. Doing everything we need. And you can see it right behind us. And they get the whole thing. So we can work. We can talk.
Yeah.
They got the screen.
I don't know if that'll work, but something. Okay. I'm all for it because Apple TV is going to have podcasting.
Apple TV, man. All this new technology, and
I think we
should get Jeff and Mike on that from the Easy Mac podcast because, you know, our production has to stay up there and compete with all the Joneses out there.
Are we kind of trying to compete with the Joneses?
Not trying to compete, but no, I mean, stay up with all the, you know, there's a Jones level there somewhere.
I'm jonesing to get a video podcast.
Speaking of jonesing, you know, playing basketball this morning.
I was sleeping when you called.
Actually, yeah, catching up on the jet lag, are you?
Pretty much. Actually, I was sleeping when Francis called, and then when Francis called, you called in mm-hmm. the middle of that conversation. So he was just the drummer, so I just bailed on him and talked to my podcast host.
Just the drummer.
Yeah. Spontaneously combust.
That's it. Spontaneous combustion, which is also a Ted Nugent tune.
Yes. It's funny I mentioned a drummer. And I thought of Spinal Tap, yeah. And they spontaneously combust. See, we are waiting for Francis to spontaneously
see how that
combust.
Like a tree happened there? It was like a tree.
It was a tree.
Yeah. So we're going to talk today about the family trees of music.
Ooh.
To some degree.
Ah.
And more so than trivia and asking questions, but we'll maybe supply with some information and maybe ask a couple of questions of ourselves that maybe the other doesn't know. But
okay.
Let's start with a Deep Purple family tree. Because Deep Purple, a lot of people don't know. They just associate that rock band. What's the matter?
You are an expert on Deep Purple, I have to admit. Well, you know a lot more than I do.
I just want to say that, you know, most people associate them with either Gillan or Coverdale or both of them.
Those are the singers.
And don't really realize that for the first three albums that Deep Purple put out, they had a different bass player and singer, which is what they changed each time as well. There was Nick Simper and Rod Evans, who were the first singer-bass player combination in the band for three albums, and one of their most famous songs, Hush, was sang by Rod Evans.
That would be nice.
And
if you just fade in the song Hush and then fade back out as you were talking, that'd be cool if you had all that ready to go.
Yeah, it would be.
Just to let you know, the more
we're not jonesing here today.
Not jonesing today.
But yeah,
okay,
maybe
so
we'll
continue
put
with
that
the,
in.
With the Deep Purple.
So a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the biggest song they hear and then they associate Deep Purple and just automatically or maybe are never asked, you know, who's singing that? Well, I don't know, Ian Gillan. You know, they really don't know. So anyway, that's somebody else actually singing that song.
Mm-hmm. And, Hush. And then what happened?
And then what happened is they switched guitar player, or sorry, bass player and singer mm-hmm. to Ian Gillan and Roger Glover combination.
Didn't David Coverdale come in there first?
No.
You sure?
Absolutely.
Well, so who sang Burn?
Burn was David Coverdale.
But that was before Ian Gillan.
That was later. No, was Burn was way after.
No, it was way before. Yeah,
I don't know when, mid 70s? No, no. No. See so, how people don't know?
So, well, I'm obviously trying to, that's what I thought was Burn because.
And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't, when Gillan came on board, they had either just finished or didn't finish the first CD with Ian Gillan. And they actually did that classical CD with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. In which, you know, Gillan sang some stuff on, but it was a big orchestration thing. And John Lord has always been into these big, extravagant music projects. And they've, you know, done a lot of extracurricular things. But so that's when Gillan joined the band. And they did all those, the Machine Head CD and Fireball and all this old stuff made in Japan. Live yeah, stuff.
And I think it was only those two studio albums, wasn't it?
No, there's also In Rock, Deep Purple In Rock.
Oh, right.
There's, of course, some best of stuff. But if I'm not mistaken, there may have been... There was the My Woman from Tokyo CD there. Name escapes me.
Who do you think we are?
Who do you think we are, yeah. And I'm going to say there may still be another one, but I think that might be about it. But then comes David Coverdale. And
who people will know from Whitesnake.
From Whitesnake, yeah. And the bass player, another, you know, big bass player was that sang at that, well, he did actually sing on some of the stuff as well.
Yeah,
was,
actually a lot.
Glenn Hughes. So it was always bass player, singer. They switched all the time.
So who do you think was the problem? Richard Blackmore said,
I think Richard Blackmore was always the problem anyway.
Yeah.
So, to some degree.
Yeah. And now they're totally happy. Now
but he can afford to be. He's super.
He's what?
He's a superstar, I guess. But I mean, he doesn't come off like the superstar guy. I think he's somewhat of an ego guy, you know? He doesn't like. It doesn't seem like he's pushing that, you know? But he is. And that's what you kind of hear, you know? He's hard to work with, maybe.
Right. I think he's a perfectionist.
That's the biggest thing, yeah. Yeah, so it doesn't come off so much as an ego thing, but, you know, he has to have everything a certain way, I think. And,
right.
And then, anyway...
I remember hearing a quote from Richie Blackmore. He says, you know, Ian's a really good guy and everything, and he's got a great voice, but when you're playing in front of 100,000 people and he's making up the words to some of the most popular songs we do, I had to fire his ass. Or something like that. I paraphrase that, but... He says, you know, if he's not going to remember the words, you're Gandhi, basically.
Now, there were two Ians in the band, too. Ian Pace and Ian Gillan at that time. So,
yeah. Ian Pace, one of the best drummers, rock drummers that there ever was.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Didn't do so much later on. It's the early stuff that you really hear him, especially through the time with Gillan and then, you know, with Coverdale a fair amount, too. He was quite a player, man.
I'd agree.
So that's kind of the Deep Purple family tree. And then there's some extensions from there as well.
Okay.
We can get into. So.
Let's see. Burn came out in 74.
74, yeah. I knew it was mid-70s.
But. And I always thought it came out before Machine Head, which came out in 72.
Yeah.
Okay. See? It tells you what I know. It just was that perception was in my head that Ian Gillan was the second singer that Deep Purple had. But now I know. What would you want to do for the tree as far as...
I just mentioned a few branches from the Deep Purple family tree, really. And that's that Coverdale, of course, went to Whitesnake. And, you know, Whitesnake had an incredible amount of talent come in and out of that band as well. Like Steve Vai and...
Vivian Campbell,
who... originally played with Dio when he was on his own after Rainbow with Richie Blackmore.
Right.
So he was kind of involved in the Deep Purple family, sort of. That was, you know, the new Deep Purple was Richie Blackmore's Rainbow. So And as well in Whitesnake, you had for some length of time, what was he, a Scandinavian guitar player, started with a V, Vandenberg, Adrian Vandenberg for a time was in there. I think John Sykes for a time was in there. Incredible drummer. What's his name there that played with Ozzy for a long time? I think he was in Whitesnake for a while too. The curly hair there. What's that great drummer's name?
Curly.
Aldridge. Tommy Aldridge was in there.
Oh yeah.
For some reason, I want to say that the Talis bass player was in there, but I don't think he ever was.
Okay. You mean Billy Sheehan?
Billy Sheehan, yeah. No, I don't think he played with him. He was with David Lee Roth and that family. And then, of course, Ritchie Blackmore went on to do the Rainbow thing.
Yep. And then he had two singers, which was Dio and...
Graham Bonnet.
Graham Bonnet. Oh, three singers now, I think.
And who else?
Joe Lynn Turner.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so there's...
And Julian Turner sang also with somebody else, too.
That I'm not sure. Before or after?
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Oh, he did sing for Yngwie Malmsteen. And also going the Alcatraz way there was Malmsteen was in Alcatraz. Steve Vai was in Alcatraz and Graham Bonnet was in Alcatraz. So there's some other history there too as well.
Yeah. It's funny how Steve Vai kind of got in there because he's a young pup compared to all those guys.
Yeah. And then Roger Glover produced a lot of big rock bands. Glenn Hughes sang on, I'm going to say, a couple CDs, Tony Iommi, Black Sabbath CD, a couple of them actually, a couple of his more solo things. One was kind of a Black Sabbath, Tony Iommi, Seventh Star.
Oh yeah.
After he lost everybody kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then another one later on. So there's a lot of history with the Deep Purple Black Sabbath thing as well. And then there's Dio who was involved with all that, with the Rainbow thing with Blackmore, singing for Black Sabbath. He was originally in a band called The Electric Elves, who changed their name to Elf and actually put out three CDs.
Yeah.
And good in stuff. That band as well was Dio's cousin, David Feinstein, or however you want to pronounce it.
Good Irish boy there.
Who, he was, later became the lead guitarist, lead vocalist for the 3-man band, The Rods,
out of
New York.
Oh, they're a good band.
So, you know, this stuff really branches out.
You know, I have a piece of trivia. Do you know who... Remember the Rock and Roll Circus?
Yeah.
That event that happened?
Yes. Yes, I actually meant to bring you that this morning, but I don't have my drive with me, so...
You're bringing me the Rock and Roll Circus?
Yes.
Just so happens I mention it, and you're going to
bring
it?
Yes, actually.
No, that's...
Absolutely.
That's way too coincidental.
Yeah, it's...
Well, I have it on VHS.
Oh, do you?
I bought it on VHS.
Okay. I don't know what this is actually from, but it's like a gig and a half, so... I have that for you.
Okay, that was the Stones thing they put together.
Yeah, with a bunch of
guest artists.
Bands there, yeah.
And Tony Iommi was a guitar player in one of the people's bands on there. Do you know who it was?
As a guest guitar player?
No, I think he was played with that person. He was the guitar player for this person in his, you know, band that he carried around with him. I think. I just saw the picture when I was in San Francisco. I was just in a bookstore. I'm looking. I'm like,
okay, who was it?
Tony Iommi.
Yeah, but who?
It was
the band.
Joe Cocker.
No.
Yes.
No.
I saw the picture.
Well, you must have just asked him to do something for him then. Or something.
Why?
I don't think he played with him.
Why not?
Well, what year would that have been?
68, 67
well,
maybe?
Well, that's possible, I guess, but...
He's a youngin' then.
He made the first Sabbath CD in 69, so...
Mm-hmm.
So. Wow. That's some trivia there. I got to look into that. I like that.
That's too coincidental though. You're the Rock and Roll Circus. That's like a pull way out of the blue, and you're going to bring that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey. I remember my
couldn't
kid.
Couldn't stop the drive this morning.
Couldn't stop the drive?
Yeah.
But you got here.
But it's on. Oh.
Good thing.
He's a funny. Well, where was I with the Black Sabbath thing? I was on the Dio thing.
You know, okay, we could have did the whole show. We could have just made one big long tree if we would have worked it
probably,
out.
Probably, yeah. And then hopefully we're going to have time to move on to a bunch of other stuff because there's a lot of things. it's the Dio with Black Sabbath, Dio with Elf, Dio on his own, Dio with Vivian Campbell, Dio with Jimmy Bain, still from Rainbow, and another big bass player guy, I think, for a while with him, Vivian Campbell. And so anyway, there's that history there. And as well, Vinnie Appice.
Drummer.
Was with Dio for a little while after Black Sabbath. And Vinnie Appice, of course, is the brother of Carmine. Appice, I guess they...
That's the way I pronounce it.
And Carmine, of course, a big drummer from way back with so many good bands. Everybody. Cactus, with the singer from...
I was expecting you to say Cactus.
Cactus was the group with the singer from the Amboy Dukes.
Oh, cool.
Rusty Day. And... they put out a lot of records. And it's just awesome stuff. Yeah. And I think every album has this big drum solo on it and everything, just for fun.
Sure.
It was cool stuff.
Were you thinking of Rudy Sarzo? Is that who you're thinking of?
No, okay. I wasn't thinking of him. But Rudy Sarzo playing with Ozzy, and I don't think he played with Dio.
Okay, I didn't know.
But he came from Quiet Riot, and Quiet Riot had Randy Rhoads in it way originally, who played with Ozzy. Ozzy and Black Sabbath and blah, 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 blah. And we'll probably do a little more of the Sabbath family tree, actually, because Ian Gillan from Deep Purple sang with Black Sabbath, Dio sang with Black Sabbath, Ozzy sang with Black Sabbath, Rob Halford sang for Black Sabbath.
Not on an album.
Filled in, and there are recordings of it. I actually have a live concert. I have a live video concert with Rob Halford singing for Sabbath, and I also have a one or two audio shows because he filled in for some touring.
Sure.
And it's pretty funny listening to some of the mistakes because he's the new guy in there, like, so just to fill in.
Sure.
So it was probably a little rough on him.
Ozzy was a little wasted back in those days.
Vinnie Appice with Black Sabbath and Dio, coming from the band Axis way back when, which is very cool if anybody can get a hold of that, which is extremely difficult. I don't even think you can find it anymore, but the band called Axis.
That sounds familiar.
And that's with Danny Johnson, I think, from Rick Derringer Band.
Yep.
Yeah. And
Vinny
played. Is that his name, Danny Johnson? Or
yeah, Danny Johnson.
And then there's Alan something from those bands too. Might have been in Derringer for a while, or with or something. The bass player. I can't remember his name actually offhand, but
and Vinny played with Derringer as well.
And Vinny Appice was on Derringer too, right?
Yeah, at least the one album, Derringer. I know. I'm not sure.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. And then his brother Carmine again with Cactus, with Beck Bogart and Appice.
Oh, that's another great album.
I don't know what even all he was on, but he was on a lot of stuff. He was on Do You Think I'm Sexy, Rod Stewart's album.
I loved that album back then.
So, yeah.
It was weird.
So some of these guys got around, man. And I don't think they got the recognition they deserved until maybe later when people realized what they did, you know?
Right.
They just kind of bounced around and probably didn't get paid much at that time. For anything.
No, I think they were just living the rock and roll lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which is totally different than
which is somebody else. Another great drummer that got around a lot was Cozy Powell.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He'd done a bunch of solo records. He played with everybody. He's even on some of the, what's that short bald guy from Genesis?
Phil Collins?
Yeah, Phil Collins. He plays on the... I'm thinking of something else. It's Robert Plant. Okay, so let's get into Led Zeppelin family tree a little bit. Jimmy Page coming from the Yardbirds.
Yes.
And who knows what else way back then.
He was a session guitarist, so he played with a lot of people already.
Yeah, and I think he actually at some point in time played bass for the Yardbirds. And Robert Plant, nobody else really... there's not really any history to speak of that I would really know on small bands way back when.
He was in a band, I know, when they
Plant.
Called. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I was getting at was something just before. What was, Robert Plant's solo, first solo effort, Pictures at 11, I think it was called. That had, who's the bald guy again from Genesis?
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins playing half of the CD drums. And oh, really? The other half was Cozy Powell.
Oh, okay.
So they were both playing on that on the CD, and that's the connection I was trying to make there.
Okay.
And as well, I think, that's good enough for that. Anyway, so Led Zeppelin, and then they just went on to do other things. The singer from Bad Company with Jimmy Page.
Paul Rodgers.
Yeah, Paul Rodgers and Jimmy Page doing the...
So that was The Firm.
The Firm.
Right. And David Coverdale also did an album with Jimmy Page. Coverdale Page,
yeah. Then Plant Page did some more stuff together.
And they did a couple of solo things as well.
And so did John Paul Jones, actually did some solo work.
Yes, he did. Well, yeah, I picked up one of his pieces a long time ago. I was just right into it.
A piece or a whole CD?
It wasn't a CD. It was a tape, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, back in the tape days.
So then there's that Yardbirds family, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton, Keith Relf. And Keith Relf went on to a band called Armageddon, which was just blew me away when I ever heard that. Very cool stuff.
And he's dead now, isn't he?
And I believe he's dead, yeah, as far as I know.
As far as I know.
I don't think he was with the Yardbird thing when they toured or anything, was he? I wouldn't think so. They were here not that long ago.
Oh, then.
A few years back.
Right, no. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he was dead.
So a lot of stuff there. And what else we got? How about the blues guys there, Government Mule. There's some history behind Government Mule, too.
Government Mule, you think they're a blues deal?
I think they're more bluesy, yeah.
They're bluesy, I guess, yeah.
You know what Southern blues kind of thing or something.
I think they got a Grateful Dead vibe to them as well, but a little heavier, a little more bluesy. What did I just hear, though, that was, I was so surprised it was so bluesy? This guy had an iPhone, and he goes, "You into Clutch?" And I goes, "Oh, I love Clutch. You sound great." And he says, "You hear the new stuff?" And I said, "No." So he gave me an earbud. That's really... Have you heard any new stuff?
Never heard new Clutch, no.
No.
Got a lot of Clutch, though. Clutch is sweet, man. First time I ever heard Clutch, I think, was in, like, Cinderella's Attic or Noir Leather or something in Royal Oak.
Oh, is that right?
And they had that cranking, and I'm like, wow, man, who is that? It had a real Sabbath sound to it. And then it was the guitar thing, which, by the way, the first Scorpion CD called Lonesome Crow, very, very Sabbathy. With Michael Schenker playing guitar on it. Something going on?
Yeah, I think Amy was saying something. For some reason, when you get a new thing, if you're on the web and Yahoo, someone says something to you.
You get no notification?
You get nothing bounces, no...
Nothing bounce, doesn't come up front. Right. You get a noise. But you're not listening to your computer, really,
no,
are you?
Oh, no, there she is. She's here. Hiya. Okay.
Hi, Amy. DJ Amy, DJ. Music buff.
Is she a music buff?
Yeah, pretty much. She plays music. That's what she does. She's a DJ.
Well, some people are just into, you know, music that's current or whatever, you know, and they're not into actually...
yeah, maybe not the history and family tree thing,
exactly,
but I mean...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she digs music, so that's cool. So, yeah, Government Mule.
Well, Government Mule, Warren Haynes, he's the leader guitar player. And he was in Dickie Betts was the Allman Brothers, one of the Allman Brothers guitarists. And he's the guy who wrote Ramblin' Man, probably one of their most popular songs. And when Allman Brothers weren't touring, Dickie Betts would put another band on the road and he would just tour with these guys. And it was Warren Haynes and Matt Apps, who's the drummer. And so when... Well, Allman Brothers needed another guitar player. They've always, ever since Dwayne Allman died, Dwayne was Greg's brother. Mm-hmm. Ever since he died, they've always been just going through a bunch of guitarists. I shouldn't say
Greg, by the way, a dating Cher. I don't think they were married, were they?
Yes, were they were married. Okay, yeah, right, they had a kid.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So
kid named Sonny?
No, I don't think so. And so Warren was called into... take Dwayne Allman's place, and he stayed in the band actually quite a while, and he's to my thinking, he's like a slide virtuoso, and that's what Dwayne Allman was also thought of, because people, whenever the Allman Brothers came into town, you know, Clapton there and Hendrix and all these guys would go see Dwayne Allman just because he was such a slide fanatic, and these guys were all just, you know, good old Southern boys. I don't think they were really into the rock lifestyle, you know, the Spinal Tap, take it to the next level. These guys are just into jamming and just getting on the road and let's just have some fun kind of thing. So I think that's led to a big part of why Dwayne Allman just kept improving, got to this point where he was just amazing. So anyway, back to Government Mule. So Warren got in the band, the Allman Brothers, and then so did Matt Apps because they toured with two drummers often, the Allman Brothers. How wacky is that? And so Matt Apps got called in to do that.
One drummer's not bad enough to deal with.
I know, eh? And then the bass, and they, so they also had a bass player friend, so they got him into the band, who was the guy who died, which is Alan Woody. And so these three guys were just, I think it was after a Dickie Betts gig, these three guys said, you know, why don't we start a new band of our own? Because there's nobody does this power trio thing. You know, he was thinking of the Jimi Hendrix when he was doing the trio thing, and Cream, and these guys were all into that kind of music. So they started their own band. Mm-hmm. And so that's their lineage, I guess you'd say.
Government Mule, I really dig them, and I really dig the fact that they do a lot of cover tunes, man. And they really pick some cool stuff.
They pick very cool stuff.
It's pretty neat.
And they're not doing cover tunes too, because they're running out of songs. Let's put it that way.
No,
they're doing it because they said, this is really where
just stuff they dig.
Where we come from. And one of the bands they play the most is the Beatles. They do a ton of Beatles covers.
And also do a lot of, more than one, I think more than two Free songs, Paul Rodgers and Free. They do a bunch of that stuff and some Sabbath even. And they really pick some wild stuff to do.
They do.
Kind of. And it's pretty neat.
You can tell where they're coming from. Well, there you go. Free. There's a good trivia. It's Paul Rodgers and Simon Kirk. And was there another person from Free that went to Bad Company?
That went to Bad Company? I don't think so.
Okay.
Just a couple of them. Paul Kossoff wasn't part of Bad Company, but similar to the Mick Ralph style of kind of a guitar. We'll come back, pick it up with Free after these messages.
You're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo on WKBR.
Are you interested in becoming an online radio DJ? Did you know that you can DJ from any place in the world with a broadband connection? Would you like to host a show of your own? Contact the station manager here at WKBR, WKBR.ca.
Need more Big JD? Go to BigJD.com. Check out the program guide there for all the shows that I host and the shows I host with Lippo, as well the blog, merchandise, and more. BigJD.com.
Okay. So we were talking about Paul Rodgers and Free. Free coming out in the late 60s, early 70s thing. British band.
They were into they're just a blues
good singer,
band.
Man.
Basically, they just wanted to be one of them.
A great hard rock blues band.
But everybody knows them for their hit thing. And there's
the Hunter?
Story. No.
Oh, All Right Now.
All Right Now. The Hunter is actually a...
That's a kind of a cover tune of
Howlin'
by somebody.
Wolf tune, yeah. That is an actual blues tune. And they went on to form Bad Company. And Bad Company also has a little history. The singer Paul Rodgers left that band and did an album with, we already said it,
with Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page did The Firm, and then another singer came in. What was that guy? That's the guy who sang with Ted Nugent.
You got tied up in love.
Yeah,
that singer.
Was that not the do I have this wrong? Somebody, the singer from The Babies?
That's John.
Okay. For some reason, I don't know why that guy pops into mind that he sang with somebody else.
Who, the singer from The Babies?
Yeah. I guess not, though.
Oh, you know, I don't
or maybe I was always thinking that guy that sang on that Nugent album, I'm No Fool, Where Do You Draw the Line, Tied Up in Love, Penetrator, it's called.
Yeah, that's the guy who sang with Bad Company.
With Bad Company, yeah.
Which is Holy Water, and how come I can't think of his name?
And then, of course, Bad Company, Paul Rodgers, last thing he was doing was singing with Queen.
That's right, yeah.
It's different, but he did a really good job.
Of course.
You know, he's a great singer, and you know, but I mean, there is no replacing Freddie Mercury,
there
no matter what.
No.
He's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, there is nobody really. Who was...
No matter whether you like Queen or not, he's just a gifted singer, for sure.
Yeah, no one can sing like that except him, I think.
No, no, he was just operatic, comes to mind when I, you know, for some reason, he was very, wow, he just had... He had a great voice. He had a great tone. He had a great harmonies, everything, you know, rolled into one package. And they really did a lot of things that had a lot of stuff going on at one time. You know, they were almost like a, not so much operatic, but I mean, what do you call that when they, like a whole, like a story thing going on, you know what I mean?
Yes. It was highly produced.
Yeah, it was pretty good stuff.
And I'm going to think of this guy's name here as soon as I read it, but I'm not going to be able to find it.
More family trees.
Sure. What's your family tree?
My family tree.
The Wicked Angel family tree.
There's a big family tree there, but we won't get into that today.
Because why?
I don't know why.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. My battery's dying again, and I have this thing plugged in, but something's wrong. Your power bar's on, and everything's going on here.
I got mine.
There, I'm going now. I have to move it a little bit here.
You have to move it.
You got to move. I'm a mover. I think that's a free song.
No, I want to know that guy's name, the guy who sang on Penetrator. But I'm not finding it anywhere. But Ted Nugent, he went on to go into another band of his own.
Well, Ted Nugent originally.
No, after his...
Oh, yeah, Damn Yankees.
Damn Yankees, who was formed by, with...
Some member, one or two members of Styx.
One.
Yeah.
And the bass player from Night Ranger.
Yeah.
That's... Jack Blades, mm-hmm. and Tommy Shaw was the guitar player with Ted Nugent, who also played
from
guitar.
Styx, yeah.
And the drummer was picked up from Nugent's old band, Michael Cardelloni.
And of course, Ted Nugent coming from the Amboy Dukes originally. Ted Nugent and the Amboy Dukes.
Great band.
Yeah.
And who sang with that? What was that guy's name?
The Amboy Dukes was Rusty Day.
Rusty Day. Mm-hmm. I want to say Rick Day, but that's not it at all. Okay, that'll just come to me like spontaneous combustion because I'm not finding it.
So yeah, some good stuff there, and I'm trying to. There's, you know, some other groups like the Twisted Sister, Dictators, Manowar thing, and that's everybody knows who Twisted Sister is. The bass player Mark Mendoza playing with Twisted Sister came from a band called The Dictators, and The Dictators also had a guitar player named Ross Funicello, Ross the Boss Funicello from The Dictators, and Ross the Boss went on to play guitar for the heavy metal outfit Manowar.
Manowar, good band.
Very good band, extremely gifted bass player, really. He was incredible. And so there's some history behind some of those bands.
Okay.
But it seems like a lot of the history comes from a lot of the big super groups from back in the day, you know, not as much the metal things, although there's some like the Nirvana, you know, who is it coming? Grohl?
David Grohl, yeah.
David Grohl and the Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love them.
And that, yeah, so do I. And, you know, that's it's pretty good when somebody can come out of a really big band and be in another really big band, because it doesn't happen often, really.
You know, no.
A lot of the guys from way back, yeah, they go into big established bands already, but to bring a band up to this status of Nirvana and then it's gone, and then all of a sudden Dave Grohl now is not even playing drums anymore. He's playing guitar and singing for another band now that they've built up from, you know, almost nothing, really. But he's just obviously very, not only a talented, you know, guy, musician, and singer, but a songwriter, obviously. You got to write some stuff that people like.
Well, in the early days, they didn't care what anybody else liked, I think, less. They just wanted to do the tunes that they were into.
Yeah, I think then people could just jam and it didn't really matter, and, you know, people dug it.
Exactly.
There always has to be something there somehow for somebody to stand the test of time, and others just don't.
That's right.
So there's got to be something to the tunes, I'd say. There's still got to be some good writing and stuff, you know. You can be a great player too and just not have something that some people really feel, you know what I mean?
I think that's what it is. A lot of the music today is just cookie cuttered.
Yeah.
It's hooky. And
take that Chad guy is a prime example of that.
Kruger.
Yeah. Not really into that.
I'm not into that either.
Obviously, he writes. He can write some hits.
Well, yeah, he knows how to write a hook.
You know, yeah.
Because it's all a formula for him.
But it's he's just phony to me. That's what it's about. It's the business thing. It's got nothing to do with really being cool. I don't think he's cool. Personally, really. You know, I just, I don't know.
He's got the right
I guess
mix.
He's a rocker, you know, whatever. And they got the guitar and they got the drums. They got the sounds incredible and everything. And he writes obviously good. But it's just, to me, it's for the wrong reasons, you know.
It's all the wrong reasons, if you ask me.
Yeah. And I'm just not into that. And that's why, for that reason,
he's not writing for you, though.
Dig
that's the
people,
thing.
You know. He's writing for the chicks.
He's writing for the radio executives.
In the radio, yeah.
That's the whole problem. And so you don't know the Nickelback history?
No, what's the history with Nickelback?
I know his brother plays bass.
In the band?
Yeah. The only reason I know that is I saw him in a bass string.
And then here this guy is on with Carlos Santana, you know, on his kind of duet CD thing he just came out with.
There's a whole bunch of...
Everybody's on there. Even J-Lo's on there.
Sure.
You know, so...
I'm just going to say the Santana thing could go on for a while on where...
Yeah, and I don't really know the big scoop on the Santana thing, really.
Is it a scoop?
Well, I mean, I don't really know the family tree of Santana all that well.
Well, there's Neil Sean.
Neil Sean, okay. Journey fame.
And... Same with...
And what else did Neil Sean did his own... he had that Hardline band.
Hardline, yeah.
And was there anything else? He did something... He's done a bunch of things, I think.
Sure. He's Neil Sean.
Projects.
And Ainsley Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
Drummer for Starship. So I think that was a whole West Coast thing.
Ainsley Dunbar. What is it?
Ainsley Dunbar.
He was on some other things. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was the drummer on the first Ozzy solo CD.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, somebody odd was.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure it was Dunbar.
Then there was the other drummer, Michael Schreiber. Is that his last name?
Okay. Other what? Drummer?
Drummer, yeah.
Okay.
And
what band are we talking about again? Oh, Santana.
Santana.
I just want to know about the bongos. Did you ever play the bongos, man?
The congas.
Did you ever play the bongos in the congas? Did you ever play the bongos in the congas?
Yes.
In the congos?
No, never played it in the Congo. I was down at the Haight-Ashbury.
Can you play Down in the Valley?
Down in?
So that we don't have to listen?
Sure.
Can you play so low? So low that we don't have to listen?
I can play pretty low. And I can suck pretty low, too.
Those are the shouts I got from the crowd anyway.
No. So we don't have to listen. We don't want to listen anymore. Yeah, there's a big lineage in the Santana family. Anybody who went into his band found their way into something else, it seemed like. I'm missing
who was
something.
That singer? He was a good singer. He was the good singer. The guy that did Well All Right and...
right. He has
really
a very
cool songs,
weird
too.
Name. Levin...
Good stuff, man.
Levin Wood.
I think he's doing a couple tunes on the new one, too, because they do a couple of their old tunes on there.
Yeah.
Did he do Black Magic Woman too? Same guy?
No, please not.
Okay,
Black
I
Magic
thought that
Woman.
Was somebody else, but he did that Well All Right, and there's another one that was a great heavy tune, man.
Open Invitation.
Yeah. What a good song.
Yeah, it's a great tune.
Good singer, good song.
Yeah, he had some pipes, that's for sure. And I think it mixed well with the band. It was like a, I don't know what you call it. It was smooth, but yet you had that rock, and I think he made the band rock, basically. He had the rock voice, and
yeah,
and Carlos took advantage of that. There's no mistaking him, that's for sure. And Carlos was never in another band. He was totally solo.
Yeah.
Never hooked up with anybody. Who?
He was always Santana. Everybody's scared to play with him.
Do you ever think of going just with one name? Just Oppen. Hey, my name's Oppen. Like Cher.
It's JD. Big JD.
Oh, it's Big JD. There it is. Sorry. You've done it. I'm sorry. I missed out. Totally took it a different way.
There's no real history, I don't think, that I know of. I mean, it must be history, obviously, with everybody. But the guitar player, Kevin Eubanks, from Jay Leno show.
Yes.
He's incredible. He's a great guitar player. On the show, That guy wails, man. He's got some heavy gain on there, and he's just cranking it out. It's just incredible. Then I checked out like a lot of his work.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that. I could not find a song that was anything like I've ever seen him play on Leno every single night. Nothing.
Not every single night. He's not happy every single night. Sometimes he does his little jazzy.
I don't know, man. He's got something going on there every night. He's got a riff happening. Never mellow. I never really see him doing anything that's just calm. And when I listen to his real stuff, it's like there is no gain on anything.
It's all clean.
It's clean. It's soft. A lot of acoustic-y type. You know what I mean? I'm into the jazz thing, man. And he's great, but it's just like, I can't figure out the difference between the two things that he does even. It's just crazy. What kind of guitars he played, you know? He's amazing. He's a great guitar player.
It's not a brand name. It's like he's got his own dude.
And he's got big muscles.
He's ripped, I think, yeah.
He's a big dude. He's very funny, too.
He's a funny guy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great sideman for Jay, you know what I mean? Like the way Jay interacts with him and talks about pot and talks about, you know.
Yeah.
And he laughs and he's funny.
He's like the modern day Ed McMahon. No, Doc Severson, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It would be a Doc Severson. There's no really Ed McMahon, is there? Oh, well, there's the dude.
There was.
I can't even think of the guy.
Is Ed McMahon still alive?
Yes.
Good. There's still that possibility that I'll get a Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes check. So I think we're just about ready for... That's right, folks. You guessed it. The Jabber Quote.
The intern fell asleep.
What's up? Not the volume knob.
Oh, yeah.
He's fired.
I'm fired.
I said you're fired.
But I got kids to feed.
I don't care. Pack your bags and get out.
Your kids are going to starve.
That's right. We'll hire your kids.
There we go. Kids could probably do a better job than that guy.
Consuelo.
Consuelo.
Is that? Oh, that's a girl's name, isn't it?
Or it's a genital that's almost touching the floor.
Whoa. Speaking of genitals that almost touch the floor.
Yes.
Look at this puppy. No. We watched the Southern Fried Chicks last night.
I'm not looking.
We watched the Southern Fried Chicks last night.
And what was that?
It's kind of like the Blue Commoner. Commoner. That's what the delay is doing to me. The Blue Collar Comedy Tour. Latency. The Blue Collar Comedy Tour of women kind of thing, you know? I think they're playing off that thing. So
okay.
It's for chicks, Southern chicks that do a particular live show in Kentucky.
And it was funny, or?
Y'all listen to them there Southern Fried Chicks. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, it was pretty funny, actually. So, and the hanging genitals. I mean, one of them talked a bit about hanging genitals.
Really?
Yeah, her boobs now at her age are...
Well, a boob is not really a genital.
Well, she was talking about how she could make balloon animals out of them and stuff. So it's kind of funny. Yeah, to be there. So the Jabber Quote, which we've got 1 minute to wrap up the show with, brought to us by...
Steve and Larry! That's right. Get your rock and roll at Steve and Larry's. You want CDs, you want tapes, you want vinyl, go to Steve and Larry's used music store on the corner of Market and Stockton, right across the street from the Apple Store. Lovely San Francisco, California.
In the back room, I hear they sell used musical gear.
Yes. Fuzz pedals.
Nice. Fuzz pedals. Oh, look at her fuzz pedals. That are some boobies that need shaving.
Or talking about Consuelo. Rock and roll is the hamburger that ate the world.
Whoa! And that was stated by who?
Peter York.
Wow, Peter York. Founder of New York.
No, it's a founder.
Who is Peter York?
I don't know who the hell Peter
is. Isn't he the Led Zeppelin manager?
That's Peter Jackson. No. Yeah, Peter Jackson. Jackson.
No, no.
Jackson is
Jackson. No.
Grant.
Peter Grant.
Peter Grant.
By the way, some quick trivia for you. Ricky Medlock from the band Blackfoot, Train Train, Highway Song. He was, before Blackfoot, was in Lynyrd Skynyrd. So,
really?
Some trivia for you.
That is a...
And then he was again later, too.
That like, is a very interesting piece of trivia.
While Johnny Van Zant has been singing because his brother, you know, died in the plane crash. So, Ricky Medlock's been back in there here and there at some touring and stuff. So, anyway, thought I'd let you know that little bit of trivia. So, what is the Jabber quote again?
Well, that's just the one that is kind of just through. I just threw that out there.
Yeah, hamburger.
Peter York, I think he's an actor, isn't he? He's like a 1960s maybe, yeah. actor. Not to be confused with Peter Tork.
Who is a monkey.
He was a monkey. Nice. And, oh no, it was Michael Nesmith. His, one of those families was involved. Like, it was totally rich thing.
Oh, really? Don Kirshner, who produced all that, did a lot of big things.
What? Don Kirshner produced
Don Kirshner's rock thing. Oh, yeah. I think
the
he
monkeys.
Wrote all the tunes for the Monkees or something, too. Yeah, Don Kirshner was all involved in all that stuff.
Wow. That's a nice piece of trivia right there that I never knew about.
Kirshner did a lot of rock and roll stuff. Actually, he'd be a good guy to look up on the internet to see, you know, it would be
all
nice
the stuff
to have
he was
something
involved
about
with.
Him in the show because he did some, you know, did a lot of stuff rock and roll wise.
So, why would he say that rock and roll is the hamburger that ate the world?
That's, yeah, I don't get that, really.
That would be a 60s thing for sure. And of course, Neil Young said, hey, rock and roll
is here to stay.
Is here to stay.
And it has been for a long, long time.
Especially when he wrote that, all the stuff is still around.
Mm-hmm.
A phenomenon that I will not get over, and I don't know that people your age, my age, who were kind of, you know, when we grew up as teenagers, I'm a little older than you, that music is still around. It has the staying power. Like, you know, I went to a t-shirt shop, like, you know, and you don't see any, you know, it's only
Nickelback.
You don't see it. Well, no, you don't see Nickelback. You see
Rolling Stones.
Stones, Hendrix,
Zeppelin.
I bought Jonas, I had a Zeppelin shirt.
There you go.
So, I don't know. I know you're appreciative of the stuff that we grew up with. And mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people who grew up in my day who I went to high school with or who was going to high school the same time I was. They get stuck in that. They're stuck in that time. And they will not accept anything that's newer. Oh, that's just crap.
Yeah, there are a lot of people like that. Yeah,
who would like think that like Nirvana. No, Nirvana, that's all that new age grunge stuff. That's just... the new version of Hendrix.
But what people have to realize, which is really what's really cool, and I hear this stuff from teenagers that, you know, they like something, a band of today, or they got into something that's a little older or whatever, but they are not at all into or despise, do not like the bands that they do like grew up listening to and are influenced by.
Yes.
Which doesn't make much sense to me.
I agree.
I find it a lot just because of the... they're not supposed to like that, or they shouldn't like that, or it's old, or it's... You know what I mean? So bands that are... You know, they need to dig a little deeper. And then the rest of the people need to be more open-minded to new stuff. Because, you know, a band like Nirvana or a band like, you know, somebody or something newer is... They're influenced by the bands that you really dig. And you're not giving some of the new bands a chance and listen to some of those influences that you know, are coming out in these new bands.
That's right.
From bands that you dig.
That's right.
So.
I probably was guilty of that when I was a teenager, but as I got older, I really wanted to know, where did Black Sabbath, what were they listening to?
Yeah.
And what was Led Zeppelin listening to? And what was the Stones
listening
to?
Back then, it gets a little bit odd.
Why?
Because some of the groups like... the bands that, you know, we find to be really heavy, and so many bands afterward are influenced by them.
Mm-hmm.
Those bands back then, when they tell you the bands that they were influenced by, although we like them and we dig them and we probably know most or all of them, it's very different than what they were. Whereas the influences later are not as far as they're not that different. You know, a band that's influenced by Sabbath and Deep Purple, you're probably going to see those influences. Whereas who Black Sabbath or who, you know, some of those bands, especially heavy bands, like, you know, from back then, mm-hmm. are influenced by. Their music is, you don't catch as much of those.
Right.
You know, it doesn't sound like.
That's right. They turned it into their own thing.
And you know, you hear those guys, we were listening to the Beatles and we listened to some other old things back then.
Who's listening?
From way back. Like, I don't know. Probably a lot of those bands.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head what some of the old rock is and stuff.
I'm not sure where you're going with that.
I don't know. Neil Diamond and I don't know. Just stuff from the late 50s, early 60s.
Right.
That, you know.
Influenced the rock bands.
You know, I don't necessarily hear. Yeah, I don't necessarily hear 50s, early 60s stuff in right. Sabbath or, you know what I mean? But when you listen to a newer band now, a hard rock band, a metal band, and they say they're influenced by Sabbath, well, you hear that.
Sure.
You know, Sabbath and Priest were our influences, and they're like, you know what I mean?
Nice.
But Black Sabbath is, and what we're listening to, plinky, 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 plink, as they grew up.
Yes.
So that's strange.
That's a strange. We're running, and I got to.
Yeah, we're running. You're running. I'm running. We're all running. And you'll probably run into us next week.
At
Sunday
11.
Morning at 11. Visit the Jabbercast, jabbercast.com. And you can leave us a message from the contact page. And as well, I just want to tell everybody really quick, the next week's show is Medicine and Healing. Yes, traditional and alternative. What might help? What might hurt? Can you mix traditional and alternative? What other options are there besides pills? So we'll see everybody next week.
Oh, hi.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.